Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to episode number 15 of the Steel City Scoop, and today is February 22nd, 2019, and I'm going to be joined here shortly by Val Mars, very knowledgeable, NASCAR collector. If you follow him on Twitter, you know that he is NASCAR Radio, a very interesting Twitter feed. He's always putting up, you know, unique facts about NASCAR cards. Seems to be, from my opinion, the foremost expert on NASCAR cards from all brands, all years. So we're going to have a nice little conversation with him about a few things going on in the NASCAR world. And, you know, maybe a little shorter of an episode today. As you can probably tell, my voice is not exactly the best, but bear with me, and we're going to get through this episode today and have a nice little interview with Val, who I think is in the queue. Good morning, Val. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Not too bad. So I did give a very brief introduction. Everybody knows this is Val Mars. This is NASCAR Radio on Twitter. But, you know, there's no better person to introduce yourself than you. So let everybody know who you are, what you do, you know, what you collect, you know, kind of the whole nine yards of your collecting aspirations, anything that you want to throw out there.
Sure. Yeah. My name is Val, and I collect NASCAR. Started collecting a long time ago. First cars I ever bought were, it was a 1979 Cello pack when I was a kid. And started with baseball and hockey, and then started to follow NASCAR, started to collect NASCAR, and then realized there wasn't a lot of information out there for NASCAR, and then started researching and going through the old issues, magazines, and finding that I could about cards, and just kind of fell in love with it. I think it's got a great price point. It's exciting, and I've enjoyed it. I met a lot of friends, so it was really good. I like NASCAR and collecting cards.
Now, there's a few topics that, you know, of course, we'll get into, and you mentioned a couple. You know, one of them being price point, and just that it's not exactly at the forefront of a lot of collectors' minds. But, you know, you mentioned your first purchase of cards was 1979 Cello pack, which I'm assuming that's a Topps baseball, correct?
Yes, sorry. Yes, it was baseball.
No, that's fine. So I actually listened to your interview from a little while ago on Sports Card Radio, not too long ago, and I thought it was kind of interesting how you became a NASCAR fan and a NASCAR collector, and, you know, kind of repeat that story for those that might not have listened to your interview with Ryan.
I don't remember exactly what I said, but you know, I was a baseball card collector, moved down to the South, and was collecting hockey. Not a lot of people collect a lot of hockey down here in the South, Charlotte area, and started going to races. And then, you know, I wasn't necessarily a big race fan because, you know, I always assumed that, okay, you know, you go 500 miles and finish where you started, right? So, but then I realized about the science about and around it, and is real interesting. And then because I like cards, I kind of drifted over to the trading cards and realized there wasn't a lot of information out there. And then, like I said, started because when I was a kid, you know, I collected baseball, and I would get the Beckett annual and start looking through everything I could, and would know all the baseball sets by design. And so I took that same kind of passion towards NASCAR and found out, well, I just couldn't get a Beckett, and or there's other things that were missing, and just started digging through it. And then I realized, well, if I'm having so much hard, if I'm having a hard time finding it, other people are as well. And so I
absolutely
do the YouTube videos and the blog and everything else. And, you know, like I said, I made a lot of friends in NASCAR, and, you know, I'm willing and openly, you know, share information. So I just have a passion for it, and trying to spread that passion. So
now part of this is, you know, me being somewhat of a novice NASCAR collector to not a collector at all. Now, I do have some cards in my collection, but there's going to be some of me picking your brain today and asking you some questions that might be, you know, hard for you to answer, and a couple of them might be very easy and might seem like, you know, I'm a rookie asking NASCAR questions, but, you know, we'll kind of cover the gamut of a few things here. So you mentioned, before we get into that, though, you did mention your blog and videos. So what exactly do you do? I know that you provide a lot of tweets, you know, a daily NASCAR fact, you know, followed with a picture of a card related to that fact. But, you know, what do you do to provide NASCAR trading card information? Just kind of give a little bit more of an explanation of what you touched on.
Yeah, so I have the NASCAR Radio, NASCARradio.com, a blog, and it has information about the different years and sets. I have the NASCAR Radio racing card on YouTube. I have box breaks and stuff. And I also have racingcardinfo.com, and there's some more information. So kind of trying to spread the information out about there. And I do tweet, like today in NASCAR, events that have happened and associating that with the trading card. Like today, you know, you're in the window here with the Daytona 500 winners, you know, and so I'll tweet out pictures of the winners and then the card from that year. So cards didn't really come around until the first set was 1972, and then the next set wasn't until 83. But then from 88 on, you know, there's a NASCAR set for every year since 88. So anybody, you know, in there, I try to associate that year's card with their win.
Gotcha. So you
it kind of shows the design and everything else. And people might not be aware of it and say, oh, okay, I remember that, or, you know, or they say, oh, okay, they made cards then. So
you did mention, you know, every year since 1988, and a lot of collectors for, you know, the big four, as most people call it, you know, baseball, basketball, football, and hockey, those late 80s, early 90s are considered junk wax. Is that the same case for NASCAR cards? Is that the same kind of classification, or is it different because there weren't as many available, or can you provide any more information on that?
Yeah. So there's some issues before 88, and those are desirable.
Okay.
But then when you get into 88, 88 was the 1988 Max set, and that is a really interesting set. It came on around the junk wax era, but it's nowhere near junk wax.
Okay.
When they produced it, they had a couple of different print runs. They weren't fully licensed with all the drivers yet. So the ones that come to mind is so there's a Myrtle Beach printing and a Charlotte. Well, they call it Myrtle Beach and a Charlotte set. And what happened was that the company Shear Press was printing the cards, and they're located in Myrtle Beach, and they put their name and the location on every checklist. There's like every pack has a checklist card. And so they didn't necessarily, I guess, like that. And so they went and changed the print run. And at the same time, number card 10 was Talladega Freaks, and they had come to terms with Darrell Waltrip. So he was running number 10, so they put 10 as Darrell Waltrip. And then Another one was Phil Parsons. He was married with kids, but they didn't mention his wife's name. And so they changed that, and then he started up again. So those are really desirable. And so they call it the Myrtle Beach printing, and they make factory sets. So this is one of those things about information. If you see a first edition set of 88 Max, that's the Myrtle Beach printing. That's worth, you know, $150. If you see the first annual set, that's the Charlotte printing, and that's like a $30, $40 set. So just by knowing that difference and you see it and you pick it up, you know, you can score yourself a little win there. So, that's kind of the stuff that I go into on the blog.
Right, and I can see where somebody, say like me, I just wrote down what you said just in case I ever come across it, just because without you ever saying that, I probably would have never known. And, you know, that of course exists in, you know, 91 Topps baseball. There's some rarities and some oddities and that stuff's out there, but there's also a lot more information on that stuff as well too. So like I said, I wanted to pick your brain. So I want to go through a couple of questions here. You know, it can be short answers or long answers, but just for the rookie NASCAR collector in me, with 2018, you had the rookie of the year as William Byron, correct?
Yes.
And then 2017 was Eric Jones. So do rookie cards have the same, I guess, stock, or do they have the same power in NASCAR or racing trading cards as they do in baseball, basketball, football, and all those?
I would say yes. And when you're talking about the rookie of the year, that's at the cup level. That's the highest level.
Right.
NASCAR changes. It's like the other sports, but NASCAR is comprised of multiple levels, not just the cup level. You have Xfinity, which is the next level down. Then you have the truck level. So it's kind of like baseball with the AA, single A, triple A. And there's people who collect the cards. There's folks that try to get every card, like, you know, do the rainbow type of thing.
Right, of course, yeah.
Yeah, Prism is kind of new to NASCAR since Panini picked that up in 2016. But we had, you know, Press Pass was doing parallels and stuff like that. But, you know, one of the big things I like to do is collect the rookie cards, the base cards, and get those autographed. But I think, to your point, the rookie cards do command more value than the regular cards. And now is an exciting time because there's a massive youth movement in NASCAR. So now is actually a great time to start collecting. Like I said, with William Byron and Eric Jones, Chase Elliott even, you know, Alex Bowman. And we can talk about – so another thing about Alex, about William Byron is, so he's running for Hendrick. Hendrick Motorsports, you have the different teams, and they can have multiple drivers, right? So it's kind of like an all-star game where you can have people from multiple teams playing the same sport. So William Byron's on a great team, being Hendrick, and then he just got Jimmy Johnson's crew chief, Chad Knaus, who's won all those championships with him. So William Byron is poised to do very well, as you saw that he was on the pole for the Daytona 500.
Yes, absolutely. I kind of followed that a little bit.
Yeah. And then to your other point, Eric Jones is with Joe Gibbs Racing. He's another one of those powerhouse, like the Yankees or Red Sox. You know, they got Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin, who won the 500, and he finished, Eric Jones, I think, finished third in Daytona. So he's another one that's, you know, his rookie is not that long ago. It was 2016. I'm a big thing that a big believer in that certified 2016 set is a monster set. There's so many rookie cards in it. That's Panini's first year, and then Byron's first card. He has some other autographs, but that's his first base. And Eric Jones, and then we can go on and on. Christopher Bell, a bunch of guys coming up in the next couple of years. So that 2016 certified is a gold mine in the making. So.
Yeah, this is probably going to happen, but I have other questions to go back to, but since you're talking about the certified, you know, for us, that's something that we sell pretty regularly for Steel City Collectibles. And the one thing that you and I have talked about off air is that NASCAR cards are extremely affordable. Very rarely is there, you know, a $200 box of NASCAR. They exist, but most of the time you're looking at $100 and under. And right now you're talking about this 2016 Panini Certified being, you know, a monster set kind of in the shadows a little bit. That's two autographs, two memorabilia cards per box. And right now we have it on our site for under $40. You know, so yeah, if this is something that packs a punch, $40 is extremely affordable.
Yeah, I try to buy those boxes. To your point, you know, you got four hits, basically. You have the base cards are good. You have parallels in there, and then you have the two autos and two memorabilia. So you're talking, you know, if you buy a blaster, that's $20, right? So you're basically saying, you know, you $20 a hit. So
right.
You're getting, you know, $10 a hit. You can't get it, and it is loaded. I mean, I can take a half hour, and we can talk about everybody in the 2016. It is everybody I'm telling them to get 2016. It's a fun rip. It's a cheap rip, and it's got so much potential.
So kind of going back to the rookie collecting, and you mentioned a couple of names, but Byron is one that I've kind of done a little bit of research on, and I think it's interesting that he was a rookie of the year in 18, but correct me if I'm wrong, he has cards in 2016 and 17 releases. So as a racing collector, what's considered his rookie card? The first card, like the first years, or is it considered his rookie NASCAR season?
That is a great question. I've
is it kind of like the baseball analogy?
I look at it as their first card is a rookie card. I know Press okay. Pass was trying to try to say that you have your first card and then you have your Cup rookie card.
Gotcha.
I think that's kind of confusing. I usually go by, you know, their first card, kind of like what was baseball. I'd love to know your take on it. What do you think?
I don't know, because I always think first card, and then, you know, not to confuse this, you know, for everybody, but, you know, in baseball now they have, say for Bowman, it'll say first Bowman card, but then it's not the rookie card, or it might be, or, you know, I like rules that are easy to follow, you know, and it's convoluted, and one person thinks it's a rookie card and the next person doesn't. So, you know, I think you just kind of have to go with your gut. Me personally, I kind of go with the first card in a major uniform. So in for baseball, it would be in, you know, Cubs, Yankees, Red Sox, Pirates uniform, whatever. That's kind of what I go with. You know, it's one of those. There's no right or wrong answer, so it's tough to answer for any sport. I wish it was as simple as football or basketball, you know, but it's one of those, like you said, with certified, we could talk about this for half an hour and still be in the same place. So,
yeah, I agree with you. So with racing, you know, we've had usually, you know, it's an army of one, right? So it's either Panini, or before that it was Press Pass, and then
right.
In a while and it was Press Pass and Wheels. So it wasn't like a huge a bunch of companies to come together and decide what a rookie was. But I go with basically their first card. And I guess I got that from, you know, baseball and collecting the old Topps baseball stuff. But
So we talked about Byron, talked about Eric Jones. Who would be a couple other drivers that maybe, you know, are kind of in your back pocket, might be overlooked? Or, you know, you mentioned Chase Elliott is one. But who are some of the young, maybe that's a 2018 rookie or somebody that might be worth collecting or maybe just kind of stashing away?
So you can go back to, I guess, if you want to look at, you have rookies and then those that have potential and those that have potential are really.
Yeah,
stick.
Of course. There's categories, of course.
Right. And so it depends on how far out. But I look at like the next level down, Xfinity, you have Christopher Bell. he's racing. He's going to go to Joe Gibbs Racing event. So, you know, either Denny Hamlin or you have Eric Jones, Kyle Busch. There's one, and Martin Truex. So one of those guys, he's kind of slated to go to Joe Gibbs Racing. So that's, you know, like being somebody being drafted and waiting to go to the Yankees, right? So
gotcha. Okay.
It's good. Christopher Bell's one. Cole Custer is another one. He, I believe, is slated for Stuart Haas Racing. So that's also a very good team. That's Kevin Harvick and Eric Almirola and Clint Bowyer. And I know I'm missing another one. But and then maybe you get lower down to Noah Gragson or Todd Gilliland. These guys are up-and-comers. And these, you know, they're not crazy expensive. Even, I mean, if I told you that Chase Elliott rookie at 2011 is like $7 at $10, you know, it's so cheap compared to, I was looking at some of the baseball or basketball, looking at maybe prospecting, and they are just so expensive, you know. And then you can get into grading cards of the NASCAR guys, and again, you're not really spending a lot of money. So you can really get into the fun and hobby of collecting without having to spend a ton of money. You know, part of the thing is also, you know, trying to find these things as necessarily throwing money at it. So if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course, because, you know, it kind of goes into the next question that I had for you was, you know, with baseball and all the big sports, there's so many different ways to collect, you know, teams, players, stats, you know, 500 home run club, Hall of Fame, the whole nine yards. Is it the same for racing cards? You know, is it, I guess it's a two-parter. Like, is it the same for racing cards that people like rainbows and they like rookies and they do sets, you know, the whole gamut. But then at the same time, what do people collect, you know, for racing? Is prospecting a thing? Is, you know, Hall of Fame autographs, is that a thing? So kind of what are some ways that people do collect, and what's the general, like, are most people set collectors or are most people hit chasers, you know, kind of what's your opinion on that?
I think they fall into two groups. One is they're drivers specific, or they're set specific.
Okay.
There's some that do the autographs, and I've seen all kinds of stuff, and, you know, it's really interesting to see how people collect. There was one guy I saw, I guess it was Kyle Busch, and he was working on getting all five. It was like one of five, or I don't know if it was the printing plates, but he had gotten all five. And then I saw another one recently come into, there's a Facebook group called Nuts, N-U-T-S, and there's also forums as well. And I'd seen on the Facebook where a guy was chasing all the inscriptions. So you had, like, for David Pearson, he was called Silver Fox, and so he had an inscription called the Silver Fox, and then, you know, the other one's Joey Logano, Sliced Bread, you know, these nicknames and stuff. And he was chasing all the inscriptions, were really cool. And I'd see some with his pat, you know, when you look at the NASCAR and relics, they're really beautiful. One guy was chasing all the Monster patches, Monster Energy patches from, like, Victory Lane, and any of the booklets that had the big patches, and so it kind of runs the gambit. And so people do sets, and like I do, I try to get all the base autographs, rookies signed. I might get them encapsulated and by PSA, whatever, authentic, and then like I said, it runs the gamut.
So it seems, based on what you just said with your answer there, it seems like it's the same for the collectors in racing that, you know, that exist in baseball, basketball, football, but maybe just not as many. And that seemed like a fair answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, you know, when you get to a race, you have 40 drivers at the cup level at one time. So You know, as opposed to the rosters of baseball and their teams, you know, there's a lot more players than racing.
So do collectors exist where it's kind of so here's the scenario. So say you're a Yankee fan and whatever player from the Yankees gets traded to the Red Sox and you all of a sudden are just like, I don't like this guy. I'm not collecting this guy anymore, blah, blah, blah. Does that exist within racing because there are drivers and there are teams? You know, is that favoritism there and that, you know, that following and that support for those teams? Or is it strictly, you know, I like this driver on this team and this one on that team? Or how does that work in NASCAR?
If you're saying that they're changing teams, usually you like the driver and you follow them to the other team.
Okay.
Maybe you're not happy about it, but I mean, I've seen some really diehard fans where, you know, they have signatures tattooed to their body.
I think we've all heard the stories of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but usually the sponsor will follow a driver to another team. So I don't know if you know if they're, you know, there's so many different ways to collect. There's right now they kind of bring in the manufacturer wars back. So that's the Ford versus Chevy versus Toyota. So people like will root for the Ford drivers or, you know, or like say the team or for some reason they fell in love with the driver. They like the way he represents himself or talks or the way he handles himself on the track. And they just kind of attach themselves to him and, you know, wherever he goes, they go.
Yeah, so one of the last questions I have, and before we kind of move into a little bit of Panini talk and, you know, past years, is there, everybody knows that for baseball, there's Holy Grails, there's the 52 Mantle, there's the Wagner and all that. Is there a Holy Grail for racing or is there a Mount Rushmore for racing? You know, is that stuff known within the community or, you know, any details that you can provide? You know, is there one card to collect or is there three or four? Is it a driver?
There, as a person who collects cards and collected and saw the baseball with the vintage, I like the vintage NASCAR, which –
okay.
You know, I use vintage loosely because vintage is 1972 SDP. And kind of like baseball and hockey, those that started in the late 1800s, their first cards or whatever were given. And so the 72 SDP was kind of the same way. NASCAR was formed in 1948, 49. You know, it wasn't until 1972 that they made – a 72 SDP set, which was like 11 cards, and they were handed out at Speed Week. And then the next set isn't until 1983, the 83 Uno. So then you kind of get into 1986, and there's a Sports Star Photographics cards. And then Max picked it up in 88. So I like the older vintage stuff and trying to get some of that autographed. It doesn't pop up on eBay quite as much. And again, I guess I don't think there's a lot of people chasing that because they're not familiar with it. And I'd heard one time, you know, somebody said, you know, people aren't willing to spend money if they're not really sure what they're buying or if they're not comfortable with it. And so, you know, people are hesitant if they haven't done the research or, you know, they're not familiar with it. So, but the SDP, they're only a couple hundred bucks. And if you can find them, the one that's really hard is the Fred Lorenzen. He's kneeling next to the car. And those were produced by Andy Granatelli from STP and Racing Pictorial. And so they're really tough and very rare. But because nobody's really chasing them, I saw a set come up on eBay. I think it was 9 of the cards, and it was $1,000, which was probably a steal as a buy it now. And that's got your Richard Petty rookie in it and Bobby Allen. safety in it and stuff like that. So those are tough to get. People like to collect the 88 Max and the variations, the Myrtle Beach variations. And then, of course, the 88 Max Dale Earnhardt, and then Dale Earnhardt Sr. autographs. Those are kind of the bigger ones that, that people chase.
I mean, of course, everybody knows the Dale Earnhardt. That's going to be probably your top guy, I would imagine. but coming off of the Hall of Fame, you know, one guy that came to my mind and I saw, of course, Jeff Gordon was inducted, but Davey Allison was also inducted. And a lot of people may know that he passed away in 1993. But I looked and I did a little bit of research before this interview with you, and he's one that really doesn't have anything, and it seems like his autographs are very hard to find. You know, is that true? Is this guy in demand? And is there anybody else that's like that, that maybe the general population wouldn't be thinking about like they would for Dale Sr.?
Yeah, Davey Allison is, you know, his rookie's in at 88 Max set. And one thing about NASCAR guys is they'll sign. And when they're younger and rookies or just coming up, they're eager and they sign quite a bit. So there's a lot of Davey Allison stuff out there. But he did a is a Texaco set. And I think it maybe was 91 and 92. And there were autograph cards in those giveaways, those Texaco giveaways. So you can find those two. So they're kind of like pack certified. And then there's quite a bit 88 Max out there autograph. But, yeah, he's one of those ones where – he didn't pass away, you know, it would have changed a lot of stuff. It would have changed because he had won 19 races and only been racing, I guess, was till 93. You know, and this is not a dig on Ryan Newman, but Ryan Newman's been racing since 2001. He's got 19 wins. So, but, you know, Davey Allison was in a good ride and they were surrounded by other Hall of Famers, but, Robert Yates, and they just—he was a good driver, being Dave, Bobby Allison's son. So he's a good one. And if you're kind of, you know, that this NASCAR class, if you look at this next one that's coming up, Tony Stewart's one of these ones. You know, I'm always saying, you know, kind of where is the ball going? You know, who's going to be coming up or be hot? Or so Tony Stewart should be selected and inducted this year, and where I'm going with this, he's kind of not in the public eye right now, that you can probably pick up some Tony Stewart rookies signed stuff for cheap, you know, if you wanting to look at a prospect. His rookie was in 98, and so he's got some PAC certified 98 stuff.
Right, and then his, you know, I would imagine with, as with the other sports, he should get a little bit of a bump whenever he does get inducted. Because, I mean, is it the same for NASCAR as it is for the other sports? Is there, you know, stakes and impact put with a first ballot Hall of Famer, or does it not work that way?
He's definitely going to get a bump. I think people, you know, he's kind of dropped off. He's been out, you know, he's definitely.
Yeah, I kind of forgot until you mentioned him.
Yeah, he runs the track Eldora, which is, we can talk about that. That's another interesting track. It's a dirt track where they bring the truck series to once a year in July. But, you know, and he's at some of the races. But I was picking up his signed rookies certified for $20, which, you know, I thought was a steal. And you know, it's just, he's, people kind of forget about him, and it's a good opportunity to pick stuff up cheap, you know?
Right. So got a little carried away on some of the other stuff. So I don't want to forget to talk about, the Panini NASCAR that came out, or the Panini Donruss NASCAR that came out, 2-3 weeks ago. You know, as of now, there's nothing else NASCAR related on the calendar, as far as the information that I have with Steel City Collectibles. But is the Donruss kind of considered for Panini now? Is that kind of considered the main set, like Topps is for baseball, kind of like the fallback set that everybody had a little bit of an interest in? Does it not work that way because there's not as many products? How does it work for racing collectors now as to what products they look forward to, what the staples are, and anything else you want to throw in there?
I'm not sure how everybody else feels, but the Donruss is, you know, Panini's been making cards since 2016, and they introduced Donruss in 2017. So this is the third year that we've had the same brand. So I think this is maybe their main brand. I thought, because they did 16, they did Certified and Prism, but then they didn't do Prism or Certified in 17, and then 18 they did Certified and Prism. So there's a break there. And then the stuff that they introduced in 17, I don't know if we'll see in 19 or not. But I thought the same thing last year where they produced the Donruss set, which was nice, and then there was nothing on the calendar. So I wasn't sure if they were going to make anything else or not. And then I think it was May. All of a sudden we had stuff in May and July and then September, I think it was. So I think we're kind of in the same thing now that they're planning, and it might be the 17 photos, they might be a little bit older. I know the week before Daytona they have a media week, and that's where you need to get the photographs, so they don't have probably updated photos, so they're delayed. So I think we're getting more stuff. The one thing that I was bummed out about was that the Panini Instant. I really like the Panini Instant as a card collector. That's once a week they release, the following week's winner, and they stopped that in 18. I was hoping they were going to start it back up with 19, but looks like they're not going to do that. I'm anticipating about another four or five releases. And that's another thing about NASCAR is I heard somebody was talking about that they release like 18 different sets a year, and that was just their one brand. I think that was for baseball. So that's a very crowded market for, and I guess as a collector, what I need to ask you about that. How do you collect your players with all those different brands? But with NASCAR, you're only talking about five brands a year, so it's achievable, and you have money to go back and possibly collect some older wax too. That's not expensive either.
Yeah, I would definitely say that's one benefit to NASCAR is just exactly what you just said in that last sentence is there's not as many products, there's a lot more that's achievable and attainable. And then if you need to finish up something from the previous year or two or three years ago, you can do that. I was impressed. I bought a box of 18 Donruss at the National to take part in the Silver Pack promo or whatever was going on. I forget exactly what it was called. But actually, I kept the set, the Donruss set. I was short. Maybe one or two cards from a box that was $50, $55. I got a couple hits that weren't anything great, but to me, I was happy with the overall experience because I wasn't looking to make money. I was doing it to get the Panini packs, silver packs. And then to me, I kind of got a set out of it that I'm not by any means a NASCAR collector, but I did save that set because I like the design. There's a couple subsets in there. I think it had the 85 Donruss design and then the Race Kings that are similar to the Diamond Kings for baseball. So I'm not an NASCAR collector by any stretch, but man, they make some of the better looking cards with the relics and the variety of relics, tires and sheet metal and uniforms and patches and the whole nine yards for all that. I think without a doubt, besides maybe wrestling, that NASCAR has the most interesting relic cards, and they're affordable, And like you said, with only a handful of releases, there's a lot that you can get your hands on throughout the year.
Yeah, and then the 2019 Donruss is, we didn't really talk about it, is a product with the optic card. That's something new.
Yep, I was going to ask you about that.
I'm used to the Prism, but I've opened some of the 19 Donruss, and they're very nice. The 86 Relic, or Relic, but the 86 cards look really cool. Reminds me a lot of when I collected the 86 Donruss. And the regular base card looks good. The optic looks good. They brought back that next in line subset. That's where you have those rookies that are really far out, in the K&N East and West series. Last year, I don't know, you probably, with the 18, you get one or two of those next in line, if you got a Haley Deegan or not, but, she's one of those up-and-comer. I expect her to run in the truck series, which is the lower level in NASCAR this summer. I think she's going to bring a lot of people back to NASCAR and NASCAR collecting.
So we talked about a little bit of everything today. There is one last thing that we're going to talk about before I let you go, and then I'll do a couple little things after that. But I know that you... is kind of me, but I'll let you do the announcing. I know that you have an announcement for something that you're going to start doing on a regular basis, so I'll just kind of let you have the floor and tell everybody what's going to be going on with you.
You know, I've been wanting to start a podcast about NASCAR and more about the NASCAR trading cards, more of for a new collector, as well as collecting. There's some overlap between, you know, collecting whatever sport it is, some tips and tricks, and maybe through the mail or in-person autograph type stuff. So with you as my co-host, you know, looking to serve the needs of the NASCAR card community, as well as tips and tricks and stuff that you know, the other podcasts don't cover or so.
Yeah, I will say, you know, and even from our perspective in the building of Steel City Collectibles, you know, NASCAR is still at the bottom of the list for what people collect, but that doesn't mean that it's not, you know, enjoyable for the casual people that do. There's a couple of people in the building that are NASCAR diehards, and then there's more are like me where it's, you know, I bought a pack here and there, I bought a box, it was on sale, just to try to hit something, but you know, it's one of those things that once you start buying it and once you kind of see what comes out of it for the price point, it's a nice little sport to collect that honestly probably doesn't get as much attention as it should. So hopefully we can kind of up the ante a little bit with some of the NASCAR collectors out there. And then, you know, from my perspective and what we talked about, me being the very rookie novice NASCAR collector and follower, hopefully some of my questions that I have, I'm sure a lot of other people have out there. So, you know, we'll kind of cover some of those beginner topics when it comes to NASCAR, the sport, and collecting those cards as well. So
that's exactly right. You know, for the novice folks that maybe want to get into it, or they're not sure where to start or have questions, I think like I said, it's a great sport. There's a lot of folks that collect it. I don't think they're necessarily organized, or nobody's serving that need. And like I said, for me, finding out information, it's trying to disseminate that information out to help everybody learn and collect NASCAR.
Yeah, I, honestly, you know, I'm excited. I paid attention to the Daytona 500 a little bit, and my wife, who knows that, we don't follow NASCAR in our house, so when I was kind of paying attention to it the other day, she kept asking me, like, what are you watching that for? You know, so I kind of kept it a secret from her for now. So eventually we'll probably be watching a few more NASCAR races in the house to kind of get a mindset as to what's going on and who to follow and who to pick up. So, but with that, Val, I appreciate you being here today. A little bit longer than I thought we would go, because my throat is about to fall out. So I appreciate you being here. Once we get this other show up and running, we'll definitely promote it on this show as well and post it out on your Twitter, our Twitter, you know, the whole shebang. So I appreciate you being here today, and tell everybody where they can find you on social media, your blog, anything that you want to promote, and then I'll let you hit the road.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me so much. And sorry, I mean, I can talk NASCAR all day, or NASCAR cards. I really enjoy it. But you can probably on Twitter, NASCAR Radio, and then I have the blog, NASCARRadio.com, and the RacingCardInfo.com. But the Twitter is the easy way to get a hold of me. If you have any kind of questions or whatever, like I said, always enjoy the questions, no dumb questions, and always, you know, willing to help fellow collector. So thanks for having me again.
Absolutely, Val. And we will, without a doubt, be talking soon, either here or on the new show for sure. So have a great weekend, and we will be talking soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks. All right, guys. That was a very interesting interview with Val Morris from NASCAR Radio. Got some answers to some questions that I had, and hopefully some answers that, you know, to questions that maybe you had as a listener. one thing I do want to go over real quick is our weekly Ask Steel City Scoop question. And this question came in from Jaded Punk on Twitter. So Jaded Punk, I'll be reaching out to you to send you an SCC prize pack for the question. I thought it was a very good question, a very timely question with what happened recently. But he asked, or they asked, did Machado, as in Manny Machado, sign in San Diego, hurt or help his overall value in respect to his cards? Padres Park is not that hitter-friendly. Honestly, I don't think it's going to do a whole lot to his cards. He wasn't in New York or Boston or L.A. I mean, he was in L.A. for a couple months, but not enough to really do anything. No championships were won there. You know, he wasn't a Cub. He wasn't of course, he was an Oriole at the beginning of his career up until joining the Dodgers in the middle of last season. But to me, Baltimore and San Diego are not too far apart. Could definitely argue that San Diego is lower on the totem pole than Baltimore, but I don't think it's going to do a whole lot. I don't think it's going to really drop the value, but I definitely don't think it's going to raise the value. I think if anything, it'll make his Oriole stuff more valuable and more attractive to collectors. There's a lot more history with that team with Baltimore, especially when you're talking about guys like Ripken, Brooks Robinson, Duke Powell, Frank Robinson, and even some of the newer guys like Mike Mussina that just got inducted into the Hall of Fame. You know, Adam Jones is definitely going to be a legend as far as Baltimore is concerned. You know, so I don't think San Diego is really going to do anything to his cards except maybe give you some more options for patch cards and, you know, Padres patches and Friar patches as opposed to Orioles and Orange and Black. But besides options, I don't think it's going to do anything to his value. Maybe drop it a tick. I just think it's going to make that Oriole stuff more attractive, more valuable, and more desirable to the collectors out there. Awesome question, Jaded Punk. Definitely had to answer that one. Machado is one of my favorites. He's actually up there with Bryce Harper for me, and that's actually the background on my desktop computer in the office here. So absolutely had to pick that question this week, and it was very timely with him signing. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. About a 45 to 50 minute show today. So I appreciate you hanging in there with me, getting me through this little sore throat that I have. So as soon as I have more information on the new show with Val, I will put that info out there for everybody on Twitter or on social media. Definitely check that out, especially during the NASCAR season. You know, I'm probably going to be the majority of collectors out there are in that same group asking the questions a lot of guys don't know. So if you have any questions on that maybe you want asked on that show, maybe we'll start a hashtag for that one as well. Yeah, I think with Val, I think that'll be an awesome opportunity to get some of these questions answered, since this NASCAR collecting is not in the forefront of a lot of collectors' minds out there. So that being said, like I said, I'm gonna go ahead and get out of here. Have a great weekend, everybody, and make sure you check out our Twitter. We do have a couple of contests going on. And with that, have a great weekend, and we'll be back soon.
Thank you.